Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now.
We Talk Productions, one of the few black-owned radio stations that address issues, solutions in the black community. Present Black Herb America. The call-in number for you laptop listeners is 516-531-9540. That's 516-531-9540. And press 1. The lineup for the week on Saturdays at 8 p.m., we have Provocative Thought with Carter Steve. On Tuesday evening at 8 p.m., we have myself, Kenny Jones, Black Herb America. On Wednesday evening, we have The Cutting Edge with Michonne Williams. Tonight, we have a guest. She is a certified life transformational coach. She's an author. A published author and a motivation speaker. And she's going to explain to us tonight. And I'm going to have a couple of questions. Michonne Williams is joining us tonight. And she's going to explain to us about keeping our goals. Keep it motivated while going for our goals. I welcome you, Miss Penny E. Jones. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Good. Welcome to Black Herb America. Michonne, how are you?
I am great. How are you all?
All right. Good. Sister Michonne, this is Sister Penny. Sister Penny, this is Sister Michonne.
Hey.
Hello. Hi. Nice to meet you.
You guys that's out there in laptop world, press 1. I know you might call in. You might not call in. But I know you're listening out there. Press 1. That's 516-531-9540. Okay, let's start off, Sister Penny. What is a life and transformational coach?
Oh, okay. Well, a life coach, that is what I do in my own practice. And I coach individuals to reach their goals. I am a transformational coach because most of the people that I work with, their transformation consists of either maybe going through a journey in life or something new. They want to take on a new venture. So I'm the accountability coach for them. I just hold their hand. They set the goals. I'm there for them, and I just walk with them every step of the way to make sure they achieve those goals. Not everybody can do that. Some people, you know, they'll change their goals and get on another track, but whatever their goal is, they decide. I'm there to help them make their goals a reality.
So you got to get a certification to become a life or transformational coach?
You don't have to, but it's good to have that certification. It's good to have a license or certification in anything that you are doing to help others. So it looks good. It shows
yeah.
that you have experience and you've studied to do your art. So I would
let me ask you something, Sister Penny. Let me ask you
yes.
something, Sister Penny. Let me ask you something.
Yes.
You brought something interesting there before I come on. I like to ad-lib my questions. Okay, now, you said it's good to get a license and everything. I find, especially in the private sector, everybody will think you're legitimate if you have a license. You mean to tell me, if I was in a certain industry for 40 years, and I say, well, you know, I don't feel like taking the state test. I don't feel like taking the United States test for every industry. Some kid that's 28, 29 years old, fresh out whatever certified program or schooling, whatever, go ace the test. You mean to tell me that kid don't have any experience? It's more legitimate than me with my 40 years experience?
I'm not going to say that. But what I am going to say, experience is a great teacher, but sometimes we have to live by the rules. So if the rules say that in order to practice a certain thing, you have to be certified, you have to be licensed, you have to do those things. And sometimes experience speaks so loud. Because a lot of people don't want to come to or go see someone that's 23 years old and think they're going to coach them or give them therapy. You know,
right.
Kind of pull away from that. I love the fact that there are so many people out there who are experienced to do great things, you know, and they have the knowledge. They have the wherewithal to have the answers. You know, my mom used to always talk about being wise, older people having, you know, wisdom, and they are wiser. So I'm going to go with that. And I'll say again, experience is the best teacher. But
it
may not
always be the best. That's that old school teacher and everything. let me ask you, describe to us what is red flags about? Now, you're an author of three books, all right? And before
yes.
we get
uh-huh.
into the goals and the motivation part, explain to us Red Flags.
Okay. So, Red Flags is my first book. Red Flags is based on a young woman who does a lot of things in her life. She's in her early 20s. She's just on a journey of self-discovery. She is a liar, promiscuous. You know, the book is fun, so it'll take you on a journey to learn the mind of this young lady who thinks she has it all, but she really doesn't. So she gets herself into a lot of situations where these red flags will pop up trying to warn her, just like it does with a lot of us, and we turn our heads sometimes or we just keep it moving. But the red flags pop up for her, and in the end, she figures out what they really was trying to, the red flags really meant. And so it kind of sums up her journey all together, and it all comes together. It is a fictional book. Again, it's fun. There is profanity and sexual content in that. I always say that just in case someone, you know, wants to read it, and I don't want them to be surprised. But
right.
That is not what the book is about. But it is an eye-opening and awakening journey for the character Taylor in the book.
Well, tell me about Nobody Told Me I Was a Queen.
Okay. So my second book, Nobody Told Me I Was a Queen, is the story of three friends who are professional African-American women, and they are friends because they share something in common. Each of these women have dealt with some sort of abuse in their life, be it mental, self-abuse, or physical, sexual, some type of abuse that brought them together. These are professional women who live in the Twin Cities. The book is fictional, but it takes you also on a journey of their stories. This book is a trilogy. This is my first book in the trilogy. Well, it may even be more than three, but right now I see it as a trilogy. So I'm working on the second book. I believe, as far as my work, this is my best work, if I may say so myself. So I'm really excited about this book because it just goes back to women and how in the beginning we need to know that we are precious. We need to know that we are loved, and sometimes the father is the first person to recognize that and to tell us our value and to show us, you know. And so when you don't have anybody telling you those things, you kind of get lost along the way at times. So the journey for these three women is a mighty long journey, and it is very interesting how they come together and stay together no matter what.
Now, 30 Days of Motivation. That seems like a cool book.
It is.
That seems like one of your pamphlets.
Yes. So my first two books, they're fictional. They were fun to write. My 30 Days of Motivation is a collaboration of stories. I wrote for a local newspaper here in the Twin Cities, and I just gathered my stories. My column was entitled Motivational Moments. So I gathered some of my stories, and I put them in a book for the 30 Days of Motivation. My goal is to always try and help motivate those who read my stories, who follow me on Facebook. So I'm kind of known as the self-esteem queen, so I try to stay in my lane.
So what newspaper do you write for?
I do not write for them anymore, but I wrote for Insight News for almost 3 years. My column was entitled Motivational Moment, and it was just so wonderful, just so much fun.
Good. All right. So, Rishon, do you have a question for Sister Penny?
Yes, more than one. Let's see. The first question is, do you do individual coaching or group coaching or both?
I do both. My group coaching, I call them my empowering circles. And before the COVID and before some other things, I would maybe meet at a library or even in my home. And most of my coaching is for women. So I would have my empowering circles for them. And I've also done coaching in schools for a group of young women in middle school and high school. I've also tried to do elementary, which was hard. Well, maybe middle school was harder. So, yeah, so I do both.
Okay, and how do you help someone focus?
So I help if someone comes to me and they say they're having trouble staying focused. So I believe in writing down your goals. I believe that we need to, everybody, whether you're getting coached or not, you need to have your goals, have a vision for those, to achieve those goals. And so when someone comes to me and they're having trouble focusing on that, I just talk to them and remind them that these are their goals. So in doing that, I talk about some of the things that they said they wanted to do, and I bring them back. Sometimes it takes a person to just X out everything that's going on around them for a moment, for 20 minutes, 30 minutes to work on their goals. And so I just kind of help them, remind them of that, and let them know that I'm here for them to help walk them through any goal that they have, that they need help with.
Okay, and how, okay, there's a lot of people that I know that say they can't find their purpose in life. So what strategies can a person use to find their purpose? They know they have a purpose, but they just don't know what it is, or they have so many things they can't narrow it down.
Yeah, I call that a lot of irons in the fire that we as a people, we do. We have so many things that we're interested in, but there's a difference between being interested and wanting to do something and then having my purpose. To find one's purpose, you have to look within yourself. What do I like to do? What am I good at? What is it that people, you know, always want me to do? How do I help others? Maybe that's my purpose. Maybe some of the words that I use is my purpose. So I kind of pull that, you know, kind of help them pull those things out of them. You know, we all have some type of talent. You know, we all have some type of talent. When you find your purpose, you'll be great at whatever you do once if you're working in your purpose. My purpose, I am a writer, you know, and I tell stories, and I feel like, you know, I do help people build self-esteem and motivate individuals. But I didn't know that that was my purpose until it became what I did all the time. You know, when people always wanted to hear me speak about this or sit around and listen to what I have to say. So I was like, hey, you know, I'm not telling anybody anything bad. You know, I'm just helping people to achieve their goals and find what it is that really moves them, what it is that keeps you up at night that you're thinking about. Because sometimes our purpose can be so big that we get scared. Like, uh-oh, I don't know. Should I be thinking about doing something like that? But, yeah, I'm the one that said, yes, you should. You can do it. So that's what I would say, how I would answer that.
Yeah, Amos Wilson said that, who is an author and a psychoanalyst and social science, he said that we should aim high, and our goal should be very, very big. So why? Now, check this out. Now, we always, in certain circles, especially academia, that say you have two types of goals, short-term and long-term. Which goal should be more realistic to a layman?
I would say, I don't know if I would use realistic, because I am a person who believes in whatever your goal is, you can reach it if you work for it. So I do work with people who have small-term goals to start. Once you focus on your small-term goals, which may even be leading into your long-term goals, I think those should be celebrated. So if we're celebrating our small milestones, and it may be small to somebody looking in, but to me, it might be huge. So I think all of those should be celebrated. But I don't believe in a goal being too big. If you can dream it and see yourself doing it, and you're willing to work to get it done, I believe that we all can achieve our goals. But it's about hard work and being determined and persistence. You know, you can't say I have a goal to do this and then you're not working towards it. It's not, that's not realistic. That's what's not realistic.
Well, Sister Penny, let me ask you this. Let's say that we have an individual that had this very, goal that might be unreachable, but that person wants that goal, and they feel they can attain that goal in 4 years, 3 to 4 years. But the fundamentals and the foundations that person may not possess, it may be difficult for that individual. In other words, have you ever had to tell an individual, hey, look, I don't know about this goal. Maybe we should explore some other options. You ever have to say that to an individual? Or you just work with that individual until the end?
Yeah, I've never told anyone that a goal is not in their reach. I've never said those words to anybody, but I do understand about being realistic. I won't set goals with anybody that's not realistic. Realistic goals, because that's just going to harm them. You know, I believe that, okay, if somebody's like, well, my goal, this crazy stuff, you wouldn't believe the kind of stuff I hear. But I think that any goal you set, you have to be realistic about the things it's going to take to achieve that goal. You know, there again, I always talk about hard work, being determined, and, you know, having a good support system, which, you know, as a coach, as a mentor, I've done all those things. So being somebody's support, accountability partner, I think that is an honesty piece. We must be honest with people. You know, and just work with them from there. I don't want anybody to change their mind because of something I said. Because, first of all, I would never tell anybody, like, oh, yeah, about that. I don't think that's going to work for you, baby. You know, I don't do that.
You want to know something? What you just said, the public school system in this country is dream snatchers. Mm-hmm. You know, because you don't score a certain point, they feel that you're not material for that certain industry. We have a caller. Caller 6120. Welcome to Black Urban America. Do you have a question or comment for Sister Penny?
Yeah. How are you doing, Sister Penny?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. Yeah, I was wondering if you could talk about the role that self-discipline plays in goal achievement and how it's important to step outside of your comfort zone so you can grow.
Okay. Yeah, being disciplined, finding a way to be self-disciplined in anything that you set your mind to do. You have to be disciplined, first of all, to say, okay, I'm going to set this goal. These are the things that I have to do on a daily basis or an hourly basis. It depends on the goal. It is so important to discipline yourself in whatever way you have to do. What if some people may say, my goal is to finish writing this book, but you watching TV, your favorite show is on. So you have to discipline yourself away from things, or you may have a goal is of, you know, to stop drinking by Christmas, but you hang out with all these people who are alcoholics or whatever. So we have to discipline ourselves. It's so important to be able to do that in order to reach our goals. Truthfully, most of the goals that people want to reach, it takes being determined and to discipline ourselves away from some of the things that distract us. I have a lot of distractions that I have to discipline myself from, you know. So I believe in quiet time. I believe in meditating. I believe in looking at what can I do to make sure this goal is within my reach. How can I discipline myself? That's the hardest part sometimes, disciplining oneself, because it can be hard. It can be hard to take away things that we like to do in order to achieve goals or to get out of our comfort zone, which I've been hearing a lot about, getting out of comfort zone. So that's discipline in itself. Belief, and to believe that you have the power within yourself to do the things that you say you're going to do, to achieve the goals you say you want to achieve, and to be disciplined enough to work on those goals daily. Hope I answered that question.
How can black folks believe in themselves in achieving their goals? We're all in a system that we're living in, the educational system, the financial the political structure. Well, all of these entities, some people, some social science will say, are barriers. How can black folks, because this program, you know, We Talk Production, address solutions, issues, solutions for the black community in this country, okay? How can black folks stay motivated? Well, when, not black folks, black men, okay? You know, I know you work with women. I know you, but you have methods and techniques that also could be, that could be utilized by brothers. You hear a lot, you know, black men have two strikes. Well, all of this barriers and resistance against black men, how can we stay motivated to change ourselves, to make improvement within ourselves, stay motivated, and reach goals for our families and communities?
Yeah, again, I do work with a lot of women, but I am the mother of a wonderful black man who is powerful, who is motivated. My son is a bodybuilder. He's a father. He's a husband, and he is amazing. And he continues to be a mentor to others too. But I would say I'm going to speak maybe for what I see in him and the other men in my family and my friends who are black men and my associates, family, everybody. I think that it's hard to stay motivated, especially with all the stuff we see, all the stuff our men have to go through, and women too. But it's just hard. It's hard because I know there are some days where, you know, brothers want to just scream, but, you know, they got so many people looking at them. They got these women. They got everybody, the whole world watching to see what you're going to do as a brother. You know, so I just would think that it is so important to have, to work with other, you know, with other black men who are doing positive things, to stay near them, to have, you know, accountability partners in them within, you know, within that group of whoever, wherever you work or wherever you, whatever community you in, to be family members. But I think it's so important to talk to others. You know, as a community, sometimes it's hard for us to reach out for help, therapy, coaching. Sometimes it's just hard for us. But it's so important to have that circle, you know, that circle of friends, whatever it looks like. You know, I don't know if my son get with a bunch of his bodybuilder friends and they talk about the world and how they can help motivate each other, but I know that there's a circle of people that he's around. And so just like us as women, as black women, I think it's important for black men to have those people in their lives, somebody that they can call any time of the day or night and just be like, man, I need to talk. Man, this is going on. I just need to talk. And sometimes you just want somebody to talk to. You don't want their answers or their solutions. Sometimes you just want to talk and have somebody listen to you. Because I know sometimes I do. I just want to talk. I don't want you to give me the answer sometimes if I'm feeling a certain type of way. As a black woman, you know, there are a lot of days where I have that issue too, where I just want to talk, and I may just want to cry. I just want you to listen. And I know that black men have that too.
Well, is it easier for black women to express themselves than black men? Is that a culture issue that we have, or is that changing?
I think from my perspective, I think it's maybe in my community, the people I'm around, it might be a 50-50 thing. But I know in the past it has been where we as women, as black women, we do have a lot of words. I mean, we do. We got a lot of words. And sometimes we use them. you say, yeah. Sometimes we don't know when to stop using these words. We don't know when it's just time to not use words at all. But I think that one great thing about us is that we have a lot of words. That's a great thing. You know, but I think that sometimes it can go both ways. And there may be a time when we shouldn't use any words at all. Maybe we should just be listening. And then there could be a time when we're just listening when we should use our words. So I think it's 50-50. It goes both ways.
Go ahead, Ms. Sean.
Okay. How do you uncover and eradicate negative beliefs and behaviors?
Now, that's a hard one because so many people come to coaching with negative or therapy with negative perceptions of their own self, and because things that they've been told throughout their lives or things that they believe about themselves. So in order to do that, you have to change a person's way of looking at themselves. In my group, I always start with a mirror. I pass a mirror around for the women to tell me what they see. I start off, you know, and I say what I see. So I want them to be comfortable in looking at that mirror and telling me what they see. You'd be surprised what some young women will say to me, what they see in that mirror, but that's because somebody told them that. I am constantly reminding people of how great they are, of how you know, unique they are. You know, that's part of the Queen's Project. My program is talking about the uniqueness of each of us, you know, and that people may have lied to you about those negative things, you know, that behavior. I've had some women come in just angry, had nothing to do with me, but just angry because that's what they, you know, that's what they were told they were all the time, or that they've been around people who are so angry. So I am constantly telling people that you are more than what somebody said of you. Sometimes I want to hear what somebody said about them so I can even walk through every word or every instance if they're willing to share. So I'm willing to do that, but sometimes it's a lot of work. It's not a one you know, empowerment circle that will change everything. It's not a one coaching session that will change everything. Again, my program is entitled The Queen's Project. So by the end of those 9 weeks, I hope that the women who go through my program see themselves as great, and I hope that they see themselves as powerful and empowered to do whatever they decide to do. That's
so are most of these women, do they have low self-esteem, the majority of them when they come in? I said, do the majority of the women that you see, do they have low self-esteem? Because the reason I'm asking is because of what you just said, like they believe like all this negative self-talk.
Well, it depends.
Okay. Well, I was wondering because I never, ever say anything negative about my own self. So that's why I was just curious. Yeah. Even if I did something negative, I would never say it.
Yeah. I mean, I said negative things about myself growing up. Maybe I'm too fat or my butt is too big or my hair is not right. You know, just little things, but those are the little things that I may have said about myself. But I hear people saying really huge things negative about themselves. And no, not all of the women that come to me or I work with in my circles have low self-esteem. And some of them, you may look at a woman and not even know what their self-esteem is like, because some people can look put together perfectly, and you never know. You know, you never know until they're willing to tell you some things. You never know. I was always a very quiet person when I was little, but nobody would know that unless I told them. You know, so I do work with a lot of women who have self-esteem issues that may have hindered them from achieving a goal. Maybe it was a relationship or a marriage that they were in that they were told lies or whatever, or had somebody taking care of them and they didn't feel like they could get out here in the world and take care of themselves. So it just could be a lot of things. It could be a whole lot of different things.
Okay, do you use the for your coaching, do you use the RISE model any, or what model do you use in your coaching?
No, I use my own stuff. I have a curriculum that I created, and I update it every so often, but I have a curriculum. My program is done in a nine-week session. If I'm doing my program in a school, it is based on self-esteem and the different ways, you know, self-esteem, what it may say about you. If this week we're talking about communication, we're going to talk about communication and self-esteem. If next week, I'm talking because maybe this is a school event that I'm doing for the 9 weeks. If 1 week is we're talking about hygiene and self-esteem. Everything goes back for me for self-esteem, and that's probably something personal within my own self that I'll share at another time. But, yeah, so I use my own curriculum, and I've been using it, and I update it, and I think it works great. So,
okay,
yeah,
how do you keep the women empowered once they go through the nine-week program, you know, to keep them motivated and empowered to, you know, reach their goals?
You know, I am available. That's the thing. So, oh, my goodness, it's so funny that you say that, because I was just talking with someone about how I've had women in my Queens Project from many years ago that still reach out to me just to say something. And, you know, and maybe just for me to say something to them. I've had women who told me, well, I remember I taped you one time, and you didn't know that I was taping you. And sometimes I go back and listen to your words. And that kind of stuff moves, you know, that really moves me. And I'm like, wow. So sometimes I have mentees that continuously reach out to me or, you know, may need me to do this, like maybe write a letter for a job or a reference for something like that. But I'm available. That's the thing. I am I'm that mentor or available. You know, I'm not going to say, well, you know, you went through my program a long time ago. No, I'm here. So, and I am honored beyond being honored that I have the opportunity to still be in someone's life. Do I reach everybody that comes through the Queens Project? No, not at all. But those who I have reached, I am honored to have been that.
Do you do workshops?
Excuse me?
Do you do workshops? Or like one-day seminars or workshops?
Yep, I have in the past. I haven't recently, but I'm open to doing that again, though.
Okay.
612 Seal, you got any more questions for Sister Penny? I guess he left. 6120, you got any more questions for Sister Penny? Guess not.
I have another question.
Oh, go right ahead, Sean.
Okay, do you do coaching for couples?
I did. I'm recently divorced, so I haven't done it. It was a couple, my ex-husband and I, yeah. We had some coaching that we did for couples, but I haven't lately. I'd like to maybe get back into that, you know, even coaching for, you know, women as they're going into marriage. I'd like to do something like that, too.
Well, you could.
But,
coach.
What would you tell?
I mean, out
what
of
would
a marriage,
you tell a young
awesome.
Lady?
Yep, I do that. Yep, I do that.
What would you tell a young lady that's getting ready to go into marriage?
What would I tell her?
Yes.
Ooh, it depends on, okay. I would just be honest, you know. People who ask me questions about marriage, I think marriage is great. I think it's great. I think it's a lot of work sometimes, but I think it's wonderful. The union of being married is wonderful. I think marriage is about communicating.
Well, how come, if marriage was so great, how come that in the United States or in other westernized countries, the divorce rate is close to 70%?
I wish I had that answer. Maybe I wouldn't have got a divorce. No, I'm just kidding. But I don't know. I really don't know why it's so great. But I know that communication and being honesty is so big with me. You know, it's just so big. And the respect piece for me is so huge because I don't know how people can stay married and there's no respect level. You know, on either end, men, women, whoever you're married to, whatever. You agree, Ms. Sean, right?
I sure do. Respect is just the minimum. They got to or else, bye.
Exactly. And so I think when you allow yourself, and hear my words because I'm saying exactly what I mean, when you allow yourself to be disrespected, then, okay, things going to fall apart. Because I say allow, because people who disrespect us, we allow them to do that. You know, because once you
men get
a person,
disrespected too in marriages.
Yes.
I mean, it's more so women that get disrespected, but there is a percentage of men that get disrespected in marriage also,
totally,
but not as much as women.
Yeah,
I think it's a
two-way street. What you allow will continue.
Yeah, huh.
If you, and I tell everybody that. I tell,
mm-hmm.
I have a lot of siblings and my sisters, they have a problem,
mm-hmm.
and we're talking, and I will tell them real quick, what you allow will continue. You
yep,
allow somebody to disrespect you or do you wrong or whatever, it's going to continue. You put up with it.
Yeah. That is
what
so,
don't you feel
and
that?
Sometimes,
that
1,000%. Uh-huh.
Yep, totally agree. So we have to, when you find someone that's, you know, sometimes women, men, I'm speaking for both, you know, go into relationships and you never, ever be disrespected, you think, you know, until it slaps you in the face, like, uh-oh, I didn't know that. So what do you do then? I think that communication and just saying what you just said, look, hey, we ain't going to be doing this. Because once you speak up and say what you're accepting and what you're not going to accept, that's what it's all about, you know. Relationships are two people at work who want it to work, you know. That's what a real relationship is. We both working at it. We both want this to work, and we're willing to respect each other, walk this journey together, and ride it out, you know. And with nobody disrespected each other.
Now, getting back to staying motivated while reaching your goals, what are some other methods that you teach in your groups? Staying on course in reaching your goals. What are the methods that you utilize?
Yeah, I utilize journaling like many other coaches do and many other writers or who, you know, I believe in journaling your progress or even just how you feel. So that way you can always write down and go back and look at, okay, at this moment I was feeling this way. Or you can, I believe, again, in writing down, people may say they're small goals, but I believe in writing down your daily goals, what you need to do, what I'm going to do today, and trying to stay focused on those. Everybody has stuff that goes on throughout the day that might pull them away from achieving a goal, but the key is to keep going. Just because I said I was going to do this by 6 o'clock today doesn't mean that I got to throw it out the window because I didn't do it today. I just believe in baby stepping your way into your new life. Whatever life you say you want, whatever goal you say you're going to achieve, I believe that even if you mess up, you just continue. You just have to keep, you know, stay on point. Okay, we can always start over because you're still here. That's the key. Don't beat up on yourself. That's huge. You cannot beat up on yourself and say, dang, I just blew it. I messed up. Okay, you just messed up today. That's it. Get back on in and do it again. The key is to keep going no matter what life deals you and whatever things pop up. The key is to keep going. Understand that maybe you might get sidetracked. Accept that and keep going.
Well, you said we should have daily goals. What's the difference between having daily tasks and daily goals?
The task might be stuff you have to do because it could be, you know, your job or whatever you have to do in life. A goal is something you choose to do. So, and keeping those on point, you know, keeping them on point, because I got a task, I got to work every day. I have to. And I have a task to get up to do it. You know, I have to be signed in at a certain time to start work. That's just my life. I have work to do. But I have goals that are as much as important as my job is for me. But they're my goals. So I have to stay on point. And, okay, today I said I was going to do this. I don't beat myself up if I don't achieve it, but I'm not going to quit. I will not quit. If it's my goal, it's mine. Nobody told me that, oh, Penny, you got to finish this book by the end of the month. I said I have to do that. I'm writing another book, so that is my goal. So it's as important to me daily to maybe, okay, today I'm going to write 10 pages. That's my goal. So, and if I don't, and I say that all the time, but if I don't write my 10 pages, if today I write 6 pages, I'm still tomorrow going to say I'm going to write 10 pages. I'm going to continuously work on my goals. I say daily. Some people got weekly. Some people may call them small goals. I just say I call them steps sometimes because my small goals are helping me to reach my my big goals, which is a finished product. Meaning if my goal is my book. So, yeah.
Go ahead, Ms. Sean.
Okay. When you have your group sessions, mm-hmm. Okay, how do you hold people accountable? Do they be, like, you know, a lot of people are into accountability partners.
Mm-hmm.
So is it to each other in a group or to you, or do you even do that?
Nope, not in my groups are called empowering circles. When it's a group with it's the Queen's Project. If I'm contracting with a school, if I'm contracting with an agency, so those are when we have the 9 weeks. And yes, we are. I am holding those individuals accountable because they have a journal and they're writing stuff that they said they were going to do. But when I'm doing my empowering circles, and they're just maybe once a month or something like that, they don't really set their goals in there. They do journal a bit, but and that's on them. I just let them decide within themselves what they're going to focus on. And they may, you know, want to reach out to me and say, okay, Penny, I did write this down, and I want to share with you what I did. So I can be that accountability partner. I don't have a problem with that, but they're not obligated to, like, okay, I wrote this down and Penny going to be checking back, not in the empowering circles. That is just to empower each person to do great things, empower each person to do what you said you was going to do. You say you want to work on this goal, I'm going to, you know, be here for you. Or during this time, I'm going to give you some advice, or some other woman in the group may want to stand up and share and give advice. Because I'm not the only, you know, I'm not the only one in my empowering circles that talks. The other women talk to, they're basically empowering each other and sometimes even empowering me. And I pray that I'm empowering them to do great things or to do whatever they said they were going to do. I enjoy all of the work that God has blessed me to do, my Queens Project and my empowering circle. My empowering circles are usually women my age. So those are, you know, it's a lot of fun. So.
I could match what type of topics in that group.
You know, there's been times where I've had to calm the group down a bit, and maybe we've all had to stop and pray. It's been times where it was so heavy where everybody in the group is crying, because I'm a crier, you know. So if something's touching me, I'm not going to be the one like, no, I can't cry. You know, so I'm that person. It's been times where everybody want to just hug each other and just listen. There's been times when people in the group are exchanging numbers at the end. They want to build those relationships, and are happy to do so. So I've had all those experiences.
So, this group that you talk about, you meet once a week. How many times y'all meet?
No, my empowering circle is, there's not a schedule. I would do maybe one a month, and, you know, and it's just women who want to come out. They're free. So if you want to come to an empowering circle, I tell you where it's going to be. They used to be like on a Saturday sometimes at a library. You know, and I have refreshments there, and it's just a free, safe place. I always utilize that. It's a safe place. Because sometimes women just want to get together and talk about work sometimes or, you know, goals sometimes, so they don't have to work at that certain
place. And
the
kids.
I guess men want to do that too, I'm sure. So.
Well, if someone was interested in finding information about your curriculum or book, how would they contact you?
Okay, well, they can go to my website, which is www.thequeensproject.com, or they could email me at penny.thequeensproject@gmail.com, and then there's always the phone. 651-410-9989, and that's straight to the Queens Project.
Well, let me ask you this. You naming the Queens Project, does that have to do with your book called They Didn't Tell Me That I Was a Queen?
Everything I do is about being a queen. No. So it's sort of, you know, I had the Queens Project before I wrote the book, but I always knew I was going to write a book entitled Nobody Told Me I Was a Queen. I always knew I was going to write that book. But my practice is just entitled The Queens Project because it's so important for me to help queens and know that they are queens. If nobody's telling them, I'm going to be the one that tell them. So that's very important to me. You know, everything is about butterflies and a crown for me. So
yeah. So how is the now I'm getting away from what this whole thing was about, or this whole conversation was about. How's everything going on in Minnesota?
Everything is, you know, it's just like it is on the news. Everything is heavy. The incident was huge. You know, just living here, there is a lot of people here that care so much about what's going on. There are some powerful people in Minnesota, that people of color, that really and truly care about the city, Minneapolis, that care about the whole state. So I am honored to be in the presence of so many great people, but it was heavy. It was so heavy for all of us around the country, because you could see that on the news. It was heavy for everybody. I think I cried like every single day. It's hard to even, and I didn't even watch the video of Mr. George Floyd being murdered, but that moment, you know, the clips I seen, you know, like I said, I have a son who's a big black guy. You know, my son is huge. He's an only child, but, you know, he called for his mother. You know, that woke
yeah.
all mothers up.
I think that's what got everybody. I think that's what got everybody. Yeah, he called
yes,
for his
mother. It did.
I think because we had got it before the Floyd incident, right, before the Floyd murder, okay,
mm-hmm.
we had got, how can I say it? I want to say we got used to it, but we between Trayvon Martin and let's say the murder last in 2019, people just think, okay, another black man was shot. Okay, fine. You know, we marched for a day or two, say a speech, and that was it. But I think what got every and all of these murders were caught. You know, guys was getting shot on camera. It's not like, you know, this is what we were hearing about. I mean, they were catching it on camera. But I think what really changed this is because this murder was 8 minutes and 46 seconds. That's number one. It was almost like the Eric Garner case for Staten Island. And the thing I guess that caught the world, he called for his mother. If he was like Eric Garner, or just swinging back, fighting back, you know, he just went down, he said, I can't breathe, and died, boom, just another Negro. But because he called his mom out, and they saw from beginning to end, you know, that the death, the murder of Mr. Floyd, you know.
Yeah. It's devastating.
Well,
devastating for all of us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's been going on for centuries. People just don't know. People
yes.
think this is a recent phenomenon. I mean, my father, when he was alive, told me stories about South Carolina, growing up to South Carolina. And those were lynching days. Not shooting days. They were lynching us back then. Now they're shooting us. You know, they were lynching days. But this has been going on for a long time. But I want to thank you for coming on the show. I think you had us and my audience. And I'm definitely going to stay in communication with you and everything, because there is the information I want to ask of you, and I'll be contacting you within the next several weeks. And I thank you, Sister
Penny,
for coming on the show, you know, out of your busy schedule, you know. And I
thank
hope this Queen Project worked for you. Huh? And maybe you can help others start Queen Projects around the country. Because
that
seems like it's needed. Yeah. Oh,
that's
serious, though, isn't it?
I love that. I love that idea. And thank you so much for having me, and for, you know, so I can share my voice and share what I'm doing with my program and my life. Thank you again.
Okay. All right, you're welcome. We'll be talking. We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Miss Sean, tomorrow night. Okay, cutting in with Miss Sean. Okay, what are we going to talk about tomorrow night? Is that couple coming on tomorrow night?
I'm going to be talking tomorrow night. I'm going to be talking about how the black man got his mojo back.
All right. Here we go. Okay. We're going to have some talking tomorrow night. I see you tomorrow night, Miss Sean. And I thank everyone for listening. Again, you listen to Black. We made it through another week. As always, I'm Kenny Jones. I am because we are. We are because I am. Good night.